Bible says a generation comes and a generation goes. And as you get older, you begin to realize generations are going. Generations are coming. New children are being born, grandchildren to some people that we know, and they just keep coming on, and one generation goes. People move from the marriage altar to the funeral home, time and again. And it happens. One day, sooner or later, it will happen. People take the vow, till death do us part, and sooner or later, often sooner, it happens. Death and marriage and children and more marriage and death and more marriage, and that's the way it has happened. Children grow up and get married, and grandchildren come along, and then there's death. Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in a cave, and then he turned to the business of looking for Isaac, a wife. So it has gone on from the beginning. Then Isaac came up, and then he had children, and then Jacob, and then he was looking for a wife for him. We read in the book of Genesis, chapter 23, in verses 1 through 3, "Now Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, which is in Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her." You know, the proper thing, you lose somebody close, loving and close to you, proper thing is to mourn for them. And that mourning, every tear that you shed for this person is an honor to them. It says, "I've missed you, I loved you, I wanted you, and I mourn for you." In Genesis chapter 23, dropping down to verse 19, it said, "After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave in the field," because he negotiated in the book of, in the chapter 23, he negotiated for this piece of property, and he got it. So we have the two most celebrated stories of love, Isaac's love, and then Jacob's love, but they're very different. Let's take a look at beginning in Genesis chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. "Now Abraham was old and advanced in age, and the Eternal had blessed Abraham in every way." You think that man was thankful? Because he was blessed in every way possible. "Abraham said to his servant," now he's getting old, the oldest of the household who had his charge and all his own. He says, you know, I'm going to paraphrase some of this. He says, I want you to swear to me that you will find a wife for my son Isaac, not from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live. I don't want him marrying something. I want you to go back to my country. Now, you remember, Abraham said, God told him, get out of your country, go to a place I will show you, I'll make you a great nation, you're going to have this inheritance, you're going to inherit all this land. But he said, I want you to go back to where I was. Ur of the Chaldees is where he came from. And I want you to go to my relatives, and I want you to take a wife for my son Isaac from them. First, he says, I want you to place your hand under my thigh. You place the hand under your thigh. Why do you do that? While he was actually touching his genitals, the testicles of Abraham. I want you to put your hand under my thigh. Touch my testicle. Where do we get the word testify? Testicles, testify, all that. It's, you swear to me on my oath, on my progeny, on my generations, that you will do this. So he said, okay, I will swear to you. But he said, I'm going to go there, but what if she won't come with me? What if we find a woman and she won't come with me? And he says, well, okay. And then he says, should I take your son back then to the land? In other words, I'm going to go to a woman who's never seen your son, and I'm going to say, hey, come marry this guy. Well, what if she says, I don't know, I haven't seen him. Should I take your son back to the Ur of the Chaldees? And Abraham said, no, do not take my son back there. The Eternal, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth and spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. He will send his angel before you. He will take, and you will take a wife for my son from there. In other words, God, who gave me this land, will send his angel ahead of you. He's telling his servant, have confidence. But, verse 8, if the woman will not follow you, then you will be free from this my oath. Only do not take my son back there. I don't want you to take him back. So the servant placed his hand under Abraham's thigh and swore to him concerning the matter. Verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master and set out in a variety of good things of his master's hand. And he arose and he went to Mesopotamia, the city of Nahor. That's where Abraham came from, his worst relatives. And he made the camels lie, kneel down outside at evening time, when the women go out to draw water. I guess it was a custom. Evening, they come up to a well, they're all drawing water. And he said, the servant says, O eternal God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I'm standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now listen to what kind of perception this guy has. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please give me a drink, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and let that girl, if that girl answers and says, drink, and I will water your camels also, may she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. He didn't say, I want to look at the girl, I want to make sure she's just beautiful, she's curvy, she's built well, she's got this, she's done that. He's looking for a point of character. What was the point of character? I want her to be kind. I want her to be thoughtful. I want her to be loving. And so he says, I want this girl. So, verse 15, before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, they named the city after Nahor, came out with a jar. Now, so what is he, she? She's the son of Abraham. So she was like a second or third cousin. Verse 16, the girl just happened to be very beautiful, a virgin, no man had relations with her, and she went down to the spring and filled the jar and came back up. Then the servant ran to meet her and he says, please let me have a drink, a little water from your jar. And she said, well, drink, my lord. Very, very kind, drink, my lord. And she quickly lowered her jar to her hand and gave him a drink. Now when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I'll draw some water for your camels and until they have finished drinking. I'll keep drawing water, let your camels drink. So she quickly emptied the jar in the trough and ran back to the well, drew water, she drew for all his camels. You can imagine with this, he's looking at this beautiful girl, young girl. Yeah, well, she's not too young, but she's, obviously a full woman. He looks at this young woman and how kindly she was. What a spirit. What is the essence of the feminine quality of women? One of them is the kindness, the reaching out, the nurturing, the quality of loving and caring. Unfortunately, in our world today, unfortunately, that has been used against women. You know, the famous and dastardly and evil man who killed so many women, Ted Bundy, would fake that he was hurt. And he would fake and he'd say, yeah, can you help me? And he would fake like he was hurt. He would use a cane and women would come over to help him into his van. And as they did, he'd grab her and put her in and chloroform her right there immediately. And off they go with her and then tortured her to death. In our terrible cold, you know, the love of many will wax cold, as Jesus said in our cold said, women, this natural tendency for a woman, which is a wonderful trait. Now, not all women have it to a certain degree. Some women are lazy or they don't care about it or whatever, you know. I mean, but Rebecca said, well, why don't I water your camels? I'll draw enough water for your camels. It wasn't easy drawing water, bucket after bucket, you know, and putting in the trough. It's not easy, but she cared. Character is what this servant was looking for and what perception he had. Now, Abraham didn't tell him what to look for. Did he? He just said, I want you to find a wife. He didn't say what kind of wife. He didn't say what kind of person. This servant on his own said, I'm going to look for a girl that will do this. He was praying to God, saying, I hope I find a girl that will do this. And if she says, I'll water your camels, I'll know that's the right girl. So she quickly emptied the trough. She ran back to the well. She drew all the water. In verse 21, meanwhile, the man was gazing at her in silence to know whether the Eternal had made his journey successful or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold. And he said to her, whose daughter are you? And he said, please tell me, is there room for us to lodge at your father's house? So she goes, you know, she goes there, and then the guy recites all the things. Now, I came from Abraham. He asked me to find a woman for him. He had one son, Abraham, your brothers, you know, your uncle and so on, your great uncle, had one son. Abraham has been mightily prospered. He left everything to his son Isaac. Can you go with me? They considered, and they were going, you know, he was saying, can she come with me? And then they finally said, you know, let us think it over. Why don't you go back? And the servant said, look, I want you to come. I want to make a decision. Well, they say, what do they say? In verse 57, let's drop all the way down. He recites everything to them, but her brother, verse 55, but her brother and her mother said, let the girl stay with us a few days, say 10, afterwards she may go. And he said, do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. They said, we will call the girl, verse 57, and consult her wishes. Now, a lot of people think, you know, well, we're just going to hand her over to you. You know, how much money you got? Okay, you can have her. Here, take her and, you know, you buy my daughter and off you go and you give me enough money for her. You can have her. You just go and take her. He said, I want her to go with me. Now, where am I going? Where is she going? Away from her family, Ur of the Chaldees, way up north, coming back down into the land of presently Israel. She's going to go a long way. They said, well, we want to consult with her to see if she wants to go. I mean, this is a big decision for her. You're saying, you know, it's her, you know, great uncle's son, and that she would come, that he's very prosperous, and she's going to a new place, and you've chosen her, and you say that God chose her and everything. So verse 58, they called Rebekah. Will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. I will go. You know, that's a powerful statement for many women. I will go. How many women? I will go. I will marry my husband. I will go with him. I will leave my family. I will go. I will go where he goes. I will go. Sometimes there's the feeling of separation from family. That meant separation. Sometimes that meant loneliness. Childbearing, sickness, grief, war, the frontier. How many women have left and gone to the frontier? The Indians were there. I will go. Sometimes they face disappointment. Sometimes they face sorrow. Sometimes they face tragedy. Yet the world keeps on in balance because men have asked women, will you go? Will you be my wife? Will you go with me? And they say, I will go. It's a powerful thing. A powerful thing. So she does. She goes. She gets Rebekah. But now her family say this to her. Thus they sent with their sister Rebekah and her nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. They sent her nurse with them. And they blessed Rebekah. And they made this little poetic statement in the Hebrew. May you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s. And may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. Then Rebekah rose with her maids, and they mounted the camels, and they followed the man, the servant, and took Rebekah, and they departed. Now, and as they're coming up, here comes Isaac walking through the fields. He was living in Negev. Isaac went out to meditate in the field that evening, and he lifted up his eyes, and he sees these camels coming. And behold, there was Rebekah lifted her eyes up, and she saw Isaac. She dismounted from the camel. She said to the servant, who's this? Who's that guy coming in? The servant said, he is my master. Then she took her veil. She covered herself. You know, humility. I'm just going to cover myself. I don't want him to. Covered herself with the veil. And the veil, you know, meant often many things. So here we are. The servant told Isaac all the things he had done. Come here, let me tell you what I've done. I went there, your father sent me to this land to pick a wife out for you. I found this girl. I waited till the girl was kind, she was gentle. Now she's got a veil on. He doesn't see her face. And she's come with me to meet you, to be your wife. Then 67, then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after the death of his mother Sarah. Now that's an unusual, now we don't usually see, here's what they did. They married, then they had a courtship. I mean, they didn't have any courtship, really. He didn't date her. She gets off the camel, and that's it. Now, come on in. You know, I'm going to take you in. Yeah, I'll take her. And he loved her. He married her. He loved her. Now, in chapter 25 of the book of Genesis, you see the death of Abraham. His years were 175. He survived Sarah by 38 years. He survived Isaac's marriage by 35 years. His grandfather lived 148. Now, if you think of Abraham's grandfather lived to be 148. Abraham's father lived to be 205. His son Isaac lived to be 180, and his grandson Jacob lived to be 147. What we see of Abraham, he was pretty much, you know, in the average, in about the same area of all of his relatives and the people that were around him. He lived to be 175 years old, and he breathed his last. In a happy age, it says. He was happy, was fulfilled, he was blessed. You see that in Genesis 25. He was very blessed in his life. He was gathered to his peoples. It just means he was gathered to the area here. He didn't go back to Ur of the Chaldees. Now, Isaac marries Rebekah. They have sons. And when she is pregnant, she is really having a tough time with the pregnancy because there's a lot of going on in her womb. And it says the children struggled together within her in chapter 25 and verse 22. And it is so, why then am I? She says, you know, why am I this way? So she inquired of God. And the Eternal said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples will be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. Now they were twins, and they were born. One started out, and then he went back in, and the other came out first. I mean, then the one came out, then the other, and then the other one, when Isaac, I mean, Esau, who was born first, and then was Jacob, then holding Esau's heel coming up. So what happened in our, to the last view of this marriage, and it's sad, because as beautiful a woman as Rebekah was, and as beautiful and as great a guy as Isaac was, it was not a healthy family life. Because Isaac loved Esau. Because he was a hunter, he would bring him fresh meat from the field, and he was a man of the field, and he wanted to be a... Jacob was more of a domestic kind of guy. He stayed around, he wanted to put, you know, grow crops and put his, grow his lentils and grow his stuff, and lived around the house. And it says, Rebekah loved Jacob, while Esau loved, I mean, while Isaac loved Esau. That's not really normal and nice. A woman who gives birth to both children should what? Love both children. She should have them and love them fairly equally. Fairly equally. I mean, you know, I know there are prejudices, and you like one of them endears himself more to you than the other sometimes, but you shouldn't show this kind of split. Here was a family split. And in the split, you have certain things that happen. One was when Esau went out and he hunted all the time, he comes in, he's starving, he's been out in the field, he can't find any game, he comes in and Jacob is cooking a lentil soup or porridge or pottage, and he says, I'm starving, can I have some of your soup? And Jacob says, you can if you sell me your birthright. You sell me the birthright because you're the firstborn. Now I can see Jacob's point of view. You're the firstborn by a minute. You just came out of the womb 1 minute before me, and you get the inheritance of firstborn. I don't think that's fair. Sell me your birthright. He did. But the worst part was when it came to Isaac getting old, he said, I want to bless the kids. Now Isaac got so old, and he evidently had eye trouble long before. And he said, I can't see. I want to bless the kids. And so they played this deception, and you know the deception. She says, you know, Esau's gone. Pretend. She goes to Jacob, says, pretend that you're Esau. I'll fix your dad a stew. Get one of the goats. I'll make it the way, I'll spice it up the way he likes his game spiced up. We'll feed it to Isaac. He'll think that's you. He said, well, yeah, but he knows I'm not as hairy as Esau. Esau's kind of hairy. He said, well, we're going to get Esau's clothes, have the smell of game and the outdoor in them. You wear Esau's clothes, you cover the wool, put some wool over, you know, the skin of the animal over your hands in case he reaches down and touches your hand, it'll be real hairy. So he does. They pull the deception on Isaac. He grants him the blessing. Esau comes back in. Jacob already had the blessing. Now Jacob's got the birthright, the blessing, and Esau is furious. He becomes his mortal enemy. He wants to kill him. Meanwhile, Rebekah is getting very upset. She's saying, you know, I mean, there are too many people in the land. I don't want marrying one of these people. And she says in chapter 27, dropping down to verse 46, Rebekah said to Isaac, I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth like these from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be? I won't be good. So after the deception and all that, Jacob is sent away. What does she say? I want you to go to my brother Laban, who was instrumental in Rebekah, you know, coming to meet Isaac in the first place. Go back there to my family. Find one of his daughters. Find somebody. So in the same way that the servant did for to find Rebekah, Jacob goes by himself. Esau, he realizes, okay, I'm not going to want to marry because my mother is really against us marrying people there. So he goes to Ishmael and he marries one of Ishmael's children. So you see, Jacob comes on, he journeys and he came to the land some of the east, and he looked and saw a well. This is in chapter 29 of Genesis. He looks, he sees the well, he comes down, there are flocks there, he herds, he says, I'm going to wait for somebody. Well, Jacob said, my brothers, he sees the guys. He said, where are you guys from? And he said, well, we're from here, from Haran. He said, oh, he said, you know Laban? You know Laban? He said, is he still alive? Is he okay? Yes. He said, he's well. And they said to him, you know, here's his daughter, Rachel. She's coming right up here to draw, you know, coming with the sheep. She was a sheep herder. He looks at her. She's watering the sheep. And they say to her, you know, we cannot, you know, until all the flocks are gathered, we can't roll the stone back. And so he goes over, helps her water the sheep. He sees her, and he says, you're my first cousin. He kisses her, and he says, let's go talk to your dad. So he goes. Jacob kissed Rachel, in verse 11. He lifted up his voice, and he cried. And Jacob and Rachel told Rachel that he was a relative of his father and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. When Laban heard that, he said, well, come on over, come in, stay with us. Well, he wanted Rachel. But he says, you know, it's going to take you 7 years. You know the story, right? You know the story. He's 7 years to have Rachel. And this is such a beautiful passage here in the book of Genesis, chapter 29, dropping down to verse 20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Such a beautiful passage. He worked there every day. He saw her, and, you know, he was just, that's okay. You know, 7 years passed. It was just so great. You know, when you're happy, when you're in love, when things go well, the time just goes. It just goes. It doesn't seem long. You want time to seem long? Sit in a dentist's chair. It seems long, you know? And so the time just goes when you're happy. And so they just seemed like a few days to him because of the love he had for her. He saw her every day, you know, talked to her, you know, probably she had some food for him. He's out there working, come on in for lunch. He saw her for dinner, you know, they talked and so on. And Leah was there. Now her sister was there. The sister was the older sister, Leah. And she was pretty. She had beautiful eyes. She may have, some people say that he had droopy eyes, but she had these sort of kind of eyes. Many, many different translations try to capture what it was about her eyes. But my guess is she had these cow-like eyes that were just big, loving, and very, very pretty in her own right. But she wasn't as perky, she wasn't as effervescent as Rachel. And there was no doubt about it, Jacob loved Rachel. Well, yes, he says, 7 years are up, hey pal, you know, 7 years are up, I want your daughter. Laban says, okay, 7 years are up, I promised you. So they get everything set, got the tent ready, you go in the tent, here comes my daughter, it's night. Of course, they wear the veil, severe veil. It's dark, it's night. He goes to sleep with this woman. He has relations with her. He wakes up the next morning, and it is Leah, not Rachel. Now, in today's world, you're going to say, well, how did Laban force Leah to go in? Well, I think Leah was in love with him herself. She was in love with Jacob. You know, Jacob lived there for 7 years. She saw him every day too. He talked to both of them. She was there at the dinner table. She was there at the breakfast time. She was there helping out with the thing. So she loved him. Why didn't Rachel object? Hey, you're sending my sister? He's supposed to work for me. But, you know, the tradition in those days, it's a different world from ours. And the women were obedient. They did what they were told to do. And the father had this power and authority. And he says, you go in and light. So Jacob wakes up the next day. He says, you promised me. I served you 7 years for Rachel. I didn't serve for this one. And you deceived me. And Laban said, well, you know, it's just not our practice to let the younger one marry first. You have to have the older one. But he said, if you want Rachel, I'll give her, but you got to promise me right now, you can have her right now. Right now you can have her, but you got to work for me another 7 years. So he says, okay, I'll do it. So he says, well, okay, here's what you do. This is in chapter 29, drop to verse 27. You complete the week with for this one, Leah. You complete her week. So like a honeymoon. Stay with her the week. And after that, we'll give you the other one for your service of 7 years, and you'll complete a week with her. Two honeymoons, back to back. You have this one, and then you're going to go to her sister, back to back. Okay, you take... Now, in those days, there were no, you know, this is before Moses' time, there were no laws against a man marrying a woman and her sister. But you notice in the laws of God afterward, when Moses enumerated them, you cannot take a woman and her sister. You cannot do that. That was absolutely forbidden because of all the things that happened. And he loved Rachel. And he, I think the King James says, and he hated Leah. In other words, the Hebrew means he didn't hate her, he just didn't love her as much. He loved Rachel and didn't love Leah as much, but he did serve another 7 years. And in verse 31 of chapter 29, the Eternal saw that Leah was unloved. Is there any more sad thing to have said? Here's Leah, I love him, I want him, and he's my husband too. He married me, he took me, but I'm unloved. I know he doesn't love me. I know he wants my sister, he loves my sister more. The Lord saw that Leah was unloved and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son named Reuben, for she said, because the Lord has seen my affliction. Reuben means to see something, you know, to see, that God sees, it means sees. He sees, listen to this statement that she's made, because the Lord has seen my affliction, surely now my husband will love me. In other words, I had this baby, maybe he'll love me now. What a hope to be loved. What a desire. I always tell people, never beg to be loved. Never beg somebody to love you. Everyone is lovable in their own way. They're lovable. If you act lovable, if you act properly, you're lovable. But don't beg anybody to love you, because you don't need to do that. In this case, she was so desperate to be loved by him. And the Lord heard her say that I am unloved, and therefore he's given me a son. She said, she said, the Lord knows. So she named the next one Simon, and so on. You see a whole bunch of the each child she named for a certain reason. And she had one after another. She's having one baby after another baby. So that means that Jacob certainly is fulfilling his job. I mean, you know, he says, well, okay, I've taken you as a wife. I'm not going to let you be alone. I'm not making you barren. So I'm going to be over here with you. I'm going to make love to you. And then he's going to go over and make love to Rachel. But she's conceiving one after another, after she has four kids in a row. And the next one, she says, this time I will praise the Lord. She names him Judah, which means praise, praise Yah. Then she stopped bearing. Verse chapter 30, when Rachel saw all this, that she bore Jacob all these kids. And in that time, one of the purposes, one of the goals of a woman was to have children. She wanted to have, she became jealous of her sister. Now Rachel has him, but she doesn't have kids. She became jealous of her sister, and she said to Jacob, give me children or I'll die. And he said, what am I, God? I can open your womb? I didn't know how God shut your womb up. It's not my fault. So then she says, okay, if she's going to do that, well, you take my maid and you go into her and you have a child by her. And I'll take that child. That child will be like my child. From my concubine, my maid, and you have a child by her. So Rachel's maid, Bilhah, conceived and bore Jacob a son. Rachel said, with mighty wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister. So she called him Naphtali, which meant twisted. I'm twisting and wrestling with somebody all the time. She's wrestling with her. They're in terrible competition. And here's Jacob. He's in between with all this woman over here, with this woman over here, Leah pleading to love me, please love me, and Rachel, I want children, you got to give me kids too. So Leah stopped bearing for a while, and so she says, okay, we're going to use our maids. I've got a maid. Jacob, get over here, have relations with my maid. And so he has relations with her, then she has a child, and then we'll have another one for my other maid. And so they go back and forth with the maids for a while. And this is a sad one in chapter 30, dropping all the way down to about verse 15. Well, let's start in verse 14. Now, in the days of the wheat harvest, Reuben went and found mandrakes in the field, and he brought them to his mother Leah. Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. And she said to her, is it a small matter for you to take my husband? And would you take my son's mandrakes also? So Rachel said, therefore, you give me those mandrakes, and I'll send Jacob over to lie with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes. So evidently, the vast majority of the time, Jacob was over in Rachel's tent, staying with Rachel. You know, he fulfilled his duties, but he was vast. But Rachel says, you give me those mandrakes, I'll send Jacob to you. And this is the sad part. And when Jacob came in from the field in the evening, then Leah went out to meet him and said, you've got to come in to me, for I have surely hired you. I bought you for tonight with my son's mandrakes. I bought you. You come with me. How sad, how depressing even to say you bought. So she had a child, and God let her conceive. God gave heed to her that night, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah called him. She says, God has given me my wages because I gave my maid to my husband, and she named him Issachar, wages. Leah conceived and bore a sixth son. She named him and she endowed with me with good and my husband to dwell with me, and I have borne six sons. So she named him Zebulun. Afterwards, she bore a daughter by the name of Dinah. Now, it appears from here, you would think she only had one daughter. But later, when Jacob meets Esau, it says he introduced Esau to his sons and daughters, plural. So he had more than one daughter. Meanwhile, Rachel wants a child so bad, she finally has a child, and they named him Joseph. Now, the love that Jacob had for Rachel, he transfers so over the top to his sons from her. He loves Joseph so much. He loved Joseph so passionately that so much more than any of the other boys, any of the other kids. I mean, it's so discriminatory, so bad for the other kids. And of course, they all become jealous of Joseph, and you know that story. And so they became cruel to him later on because he was. And then Rachel gets pregnant again, and she has another child, Benjamin, and she dies in the process. She wanted to name him the child of my sorrow. He turned around and named him, you know, the child of my right hand. And his name was Benjamin. When it came time to die, by the way, later on, Jacob and Esau meet, and they finally are together. And when their father Isaac died, both Jacob and Esau buried him. Interestingly enough, did you know that when Abraham died, you know who buried him? Ishmael and Isaac got together again and married him and buried him. They came together. It seems like death, you know, I don't know how, death seems to draw people, you know, together. You ever see people, you've been to a funeral, you say, well, I haven't seen you for long, cousins and relatives. They all come because of their connection to a certain person. They may have been divided, may have been separated, but they come because of a connection to a certain person. But this is what Jacob said at the end of his life. He said this to Pharaoh in his sojourn. Now, remember, Joseph went down to Egypt, so here comes Jacob down. And Pharaoh's asking him about his life. And this is what Jacob says in chapter 47 of Genesis. He said, the years of my sojourning are 130. Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life. Now the King James says, few and evil. Evil. Meaning, they were, doesn't mean evil in the way of sinful, or that they were. It means they just were hard. They were not happy years. They were few and unpleasant have been the years of my life. Nor have they attained the years that my fathers lived during the days of their sojourning. Jacob died considerably younger than Isaac, considerably younger than Abraham, considerably younger than his uncles, Abraham's brothers, and considerably younger. It was a very hard life. And you can imagine, when you love people and they don't love each other, how you're torn constantly with that problem. Leah, Rachel, her kids, these kids. These people, I love Joseph. Now they hate Joseph. Now what happened to Joseph? And you know how hard it was on Jacob when they brought Jacob that torn up, multicolored robe of Joseph's and said, he's dead. Some animal got him, killed him. We saw him here. Here's the blood soaked. They soaked it with sheep's blood, but here's the blood of your son. He's gone. And he thought he was gone, he was dead. And he mourned, and he cried, and he held on to Benjamin now, the youngest one. And it was just a sad world there. But the one thing he clung to. Now, he had a courtship. Do you notice the difference between these two marriages, between Isaac and Jacob? Isaac took Rebecca immediately, right into the bed, took her right away, and she became his wife, and afterward they had a courtship. Jacob had a courtship for 7 years before he took Rachel. But she was, you would have to say, the love of his life. And I think in his old age, you know, he had a lot of experiences. He said, few and unpleasant. I've had a lot of experiences. He did have some pleasant ones. You remember he wrestled with the Eternal? The Eternal touched his thigh, you know, touched his thigh bone. You know, he saw the ladders, the gates going up into heaven. He saw that vision and the pillar, the pillar stone that he had. He set it up and worshiped God. He had many blessings. He had a lot of things happen. But you know, in his old age and he was dying, I think because of his love, I think he would have seen in his dying days the face and heard the voice of his beloved Rachel. That is the ending story of that man. Rachel was in his heart to stay. You know, there are people who will come into your life. They will be in your heart. You can recall their voice, their walk, their talk, their touch, their feel. You can recall it, and it will never go away. And if you love them, it's a reason to give thanks.